Let us turn again to the passage that we read, Jeremiah chapter 51 and at verse 50. Jeremiah 51, 50. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We would seek, if the Lord would help, to say something further from what was said about this verse last Sabbath evening. We tried to say something about the background, the Jews having been taken into captivity in Babylon, and the time is coming when the Jews will be released from captivity, when God will judge Babylon very much from the way they treated God's own people. And yet, they were an instrument in the hand of God to judge, to punish the Jews because of their idolatry. And so, while a great deal of the chapter is taken up with judgments that were to come upon Babylon, in the midst of it all we have this: ye that have escaped the sword. Those that have survived are being addressed. They were to go away from Babylon. They were not to stand still. And in connection with going away, they were to remember the Lord from that faraway place, and Jerusalem was to come into their mind. They were to think about Jerusalem, the place where the Lord dwelt, we might say, the place where the Lord was worshipped. And indeed, until the temple was destroyed when the Babylonians invaded, there was the presence of God, particularly in the most holy place in the temple. There was that cloud, what they spoke of as the Shekinah cloud, the dwelling cloud, the cloud that dwelt there. God dwelt there. But there was rebellion, there was idolatry in the nation, and God left, so to speak, not entirely. Jeremiah, while he was left in Judah, would have continued to enjoy fellowship with God, though there was no longer any outward symbol of his presence. Yet, you see, God was present. God present everywhere. But the first main point we tried to consider was the people that were addressed. They had escaped the sword. And we took that as a picture of the people of God in every generation. There were a people that had escaped the sword of divine justice. They had escaped God's anger to be visited on them because of their sins. But they were delivered. God showed mercy. Yes, what a blessing. God showed mercy. And then the second point was this. They were not to stand still. When the providence of God would come down, and when Cyrus, king of Persia, who had taken possession of Babylon, and when he would give a decree that the Jews should go back to their own land, and I would understand all the various other subject peoples would go back to their countries. But that's beside our point just now. It's Jews, the people of God, they were, when the providence became obvious that it was God's will for them, they were to, this was the people of God who had escaped the sword. They were not to stay where they were. They were not to stand still. They were to go away. And so it is that the people of God are to continue on their way. They have set out, you see. They have set out from the Satan's kingdom. They have gone out. The Lord has drawn them. Yes. And they were to go on their way. They were not to stand still. They were to make progress. And then thirdly, their thinking. They were to let Jerusalem come into their mind. They were to remember the Lord who was king in Jerusalem, who was king in Zion. They were to remember him. That was to be their destination at that point. And so the people of God who have escaped the sword, who have gone out on their journey towards the new Jerusalem in heaven above, they were to remember that city that the Lord has prepared for them that love it. They were to remember Jerusalem. It was to come into their mind. And even more particularly, they were to remember the Lord. Literally thinking of him as in Jerusalem, which was far away from Babylon. But you see, all these things are pointing us to the final Jerusalem, the final place for the people of God. They are to remember it. That's where they are journeying to. Yes. They are to remember the Lord afar off and to let Jerusalem come into their mind. Well, let us go back just now to the second point. Yes, the people of God are to make progress. They are not to stand in a far-off land. They are not to get over-involved with the things of this world. And they are not to be taken up with the foolishness of the world. They are not to be possessed with the ambitions of this world. And certainly they are not to be taken up with the entertainments of this world. And in connection with these things, of course, the people of God, like everyone else, are to work. They are to work. Certainly some of a certain age can retire, but and as they get older, they may be capable of less, but they will still have things to do. But without trying to say much about these things, let me quote to you the verse in 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. They were to touch no unclean thing, and he would be a father unto them, and they would be his sons and his daughters. And if we have the Lord as our father, and we are his adopted children, if that is the case, then this should be obvious. The Lord will take care of us. Come out from among them, and I will be a father unto you. What a blessing to have a father in heaven. We should be seeking that. We might think more of being delivered from guilt and eternal punishment and being delivered from the power of sin. But you see, there's this. There's adoption. There's the fatherly care of God in heaven for all his children. And whoever might forsake, whoever might show themselves to be anything but friends, or whatever degree of loss of friendship or removal of friends and relations by death, I will be a father unto you. That's it. What a blessing. When people come under the fatherly care of God, how much is bound up with that? People coming under the fatherly care of God to be treated as if they were always his children. Is that not a great matter? To be treated. Those who come to Christ or come to God through Christ. It's another way of putting it. It adds in another factor that we should be meditating on. And if we are God's children, it's something that we should be thankful for. God is our Father. If we might have that. It's a blessing, is it not? It's a tremendous blessing. Oh, if we understand those that are involved in this. Come out from among them. Come out from the world. Come out from going on in the way of sin. And I will be a father unto you. Though you were rebels. Though you were prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Who had fled from the family home. Taking what they thought was a share of the inheritance with them. But yes, that didn't last. What a situation the prodigal son was in. And that's the situation that sinners are in. And what came into the prodigal son's mind? It was this. How much better to be under my Father. To be under his roof, even just as a servant, though I wouldn't be a son any longer, though I'd just be a slave there, but oh, the blessings of the slaves in the Father's house. But of course, a good deal of that was wrong. He hadn't got the picture of the Father that the Father was. He hadn't got a right picture of that. And the Father ran to meet him. Ah, yes, how Christ runs to gather in the lost sheep, to find them where they are. Yes, and he takes them home. And as he put them among the servants, well, yes, he is a servant, but not in the sense that he meant. He is a son. Yes. And what a celebration there was when the prodigal son came home. But oh, think of what it involved. The Father must come. He must shepherd the Son. He must act as a father to him, though he had been disowned. Though the prodigal son had gone away. Yes. But you see, the heart of the Father towards his children. Those who had disowned his fatherhood, who had disowned their own sonship, and had gone away into the world. And the Father comes to rescue these poor children. Yes, he must die for them, because they have rebelled. They are sinners. He must die. Oh, what is involved? To put it into other language, what is involved in the state of those that the Father comes to save, that the Good Shepherd comes to save? He will gather them in his arms, and he will lead gently those that are with young, those that are weak. He will gather them in his arms. He will bring them home. Yes. Ah, it's not so much that the prodigal son left for home. Yes, he did. But we have to look beyond that. We have to look to the good shepherd. And the good shepherd found him where he was. It's of course a parable. And we don't need to expect to find everything in a parable. There are certain prominent things that are very much to teach us. That's true of that parable. The father found away in the far country. He needed to, as it were, to go to the far country that he might find. And he speaks to him. He speaks into his heart. He puts new thinking into his mind. Now you see what I'm pointing to, trying to, when I'm speaking in the terms of the parable. It's the work of God and the salvation of sinners. And particularly just now, the work of Christ is the good shepherd, bringing sinners into the kingdom of God to be willing subjects. And as willing subjects, they will be willing children. They have been changed. They have a new heart. They have new thinking. What a change. When the prodigal son said to himself, I must go home. This is no place to be. Home is the best place, though I went away from home and I squandered my inheritance. What an inheritance Adam had in the beginning. Perfection. And if he had continued, he might have passed that on. He would have passed that on to all his descendants. But he squandered his inheritance in a moment, in a thought of being like God. His mind should have stopped at that point. We can't do that. God has spoken. And we're thinking of going away with our inheritance, with our share of the inheritance. And we will live as we please. I know. The children of God going away. They are drawn out of the kingdom of Satan. They are drawn, as it were, out of this kingdom of Babylon. And they go on their way. They are drawn. The good shepherd is drawing them. Yes. The good shepherd has called to them. And they hear his voice. They recognize his voice now. They've had a change of heart. They've been instructed. They know what is bound up with the call of Christ, calling to sinners, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a burden the prodigal son had. He couldn't provide for himself. It was hard labor and very little to get out of it. Well, Christ is calling to sinners, laboring for the devil, scullery maids of Satan, as someone was saying, perhaps any number of ministers used the illustration, just doing menial work, lowly work for the devil. Yes, bolstering the kingdom of darkness. Our sinner, come out. Be separate. Do not touch the unclean thing. Come into the kingdom of God. Come to Christ. He is calling you. He is calling us all. Come, sinner, come. Do not linger. Do not stay any longer in the kingdom of darkness. Hear Christ as the one who died for sinners and who rose again. Hear him as he is calling. Calling to us all, calling to those in particular who are still unconverted. Come, sinner, come to Christ, look to him, trust in him. Yes. Yes. Oh, we cannot afford it to go on. But you see, we are to go on in a godly way. As we are as we go on. We are to be asking the Lord to keep us, to watch over us, to lead us on safely. Yes, we are to live a godly life. And there was Moses. And he is, we have the account of his life in Exodus, but also we have some aspects of his life picked up in the Epistle to the Hebrews. That's God's gracious purpose. And you see, Moses, he was in Egypt. Was he to stay in Egypt with all its idolatry and all its worldliness? It was hardly a place for a godly man to be in the palace in Egypt. And the Lord was saying to him, come out from among them and be ye separate. And there was this, that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, only for a season, only for a time. That's it. And oh, an ungodly heart may say, there's nothing desirable about the kingdom of God. I want to go on in sin, but the Lord cures that. The Lord pours grace into the heart of the sinner that he draws to himself. And that sinner is brought to consider things, to consider the situation he is in, to consider the pleasures of sin, that they are but for a season, that they are not satisfying for any length of time. But you see, the pleasures of the kingdom of God, and there are pleasures in the kingdom of God, the truth as it is revealed in Scripture, that's what is to be enjoyed. And the Lord gives grace to sinners, changing them, giving them new attitudes and new motives so that they enjoy the Word of God. Yes, maybe a struggle to go on with their reading at times, but you see, they do get light on the truth, and that is enjoyable. The Lord applies the truth to their own souls, and that's in what they enjoy. And that's not just for a season. That's not just for time. That's for a whole eternity. Yes. And Moses is enjoying himself in heaven. Moses is enjoying the things of God in heaven. The Lord is near to him. He had the Lord's fatherly care when he was in this world. And he doesn't lose it when he is brought to heaven above. He doesn't lose it. He brings the sinner, having been saved, having been brought, having escaped the sword, and having been brought to a living faith in Christ, he brings the sinner home at last to the perfect enjoyments of heaven. The perfectly pure enjoyments of heaven. What has been prepared for them. I go to prepare a place for you, the Lord said. I go home. I go to my Father that he might prepare a place for his own people. Yes. And he is preparing them for that place in this world. He is using the means of grace, using the time of his people at the throne of grace in prayer. He is using their time reading the scriptures to teach them. He is using their time at public worship to teach them further. Yes, and he has gone home. He has gone to glory. He is presenting the blessings that he has purchased for them. He is making request in his intercession before the Father that they might have these blessings. And at last, he will say, I will that this person be brought home to glory. You see, there's a way, there's a path through this world. He will bring the blind by a way that they know not. He will lead them in paths that they have not known. He will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will he do unto them and not forsake them. That's how it was with Moses, and he had many a difficult day as he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Many a difficult day, and how does he feel about it now? No doubt he can see that it was all preparing him for the prepared place that the Savior was getting ready for the likes of him. He's there in eternal glory. And whatever difficulties the children of God may have on their way through this world, they will be brought to eternal glory. Yes. You see, they are to go on their way. They are not to stand still. They are to seek to make progress. And they are to use the means of grace with a view to that. There's the Lord's Supper, not least. That's a means of grace. That the children of God, the people who have come home, the prodigals who have come home, yes, they are to make use of that means as well as others. They may have their difficulties, but they are to go with their difficulties to the Lord. They are to go to him that they might have insight into their spiritual condition. He can make it obvious to them in many a way, through the word read, through the word preached, yes. And as they meditate on the word themselves, as they pray, they can get light on their spiritual condition. Yes. And they may feel in the way that they react to the call of the gospel that the Lord is dealing graciously with them. They may even be brought to see that the Lord has brought them to himself, that they are not what they were. No, they're not what they will be. They may be expecting too much in a sense as to what they are at present. But, you see, that is all provided for. They will be perfect yet. Every believer here can be assured that they will yet be perfect. Although they might speak of their failings and their sins, yet they will yet be perfect. Yes. They are to grow in grace, you see. They are to go on in their way. How will they grow in grace? Oh, I've answered that question, though not directly. But the answer is in what I've said already, and it is this. They will grow in grace as they make use of the means of grace. It's the Lord blessing the means. That's the thing. And as we are close to a communion Sabbath again, let us remember the significance of the Lord's Supper as a means of grace, a means of growth in grace. Yes. And the Lord's people are to seek not to hold back. Yes. And that might be the difficulty. Am I one of God's children? Well, are you what you wear? Are you what you would desire to be? Or put it another way, do you desire to be something more than what you are by the grace of God? Do you desire to be something more than what you are by the grace of God? And that you would put yourself, and you would seek grace to put yourself under the teaching of Christ. It says teaching, you see. I've focused on the means of grace. But let us for a moment focus on this aspect of things. It's Christ working through the Holy Spirit in connection with the means of grace that will bring about growth in grace and that will enable the people of God to recognize what they are. You see the psalm, teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts to thy. Teach me. Teach me by thy word and spirit. See? The word and the spirit coming together. The spirit applying the word of God to the soul. So that they might see Jesus. And then, so that they may see themselves as one of the children, the adopted children, experiencing the blessings of being in the Father's house. Oh, let us seek to recognize what we are. Let us seek grace to recognize what we are, whether we are inside the kingdom or out of it. Yes. But let us remember that what is said in the previous chapter, at verse 34, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall truly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Their Redeemer is strong. And here we might say there is some reference to the Lord as the Redeemer of his people from Babylon. Well, of course, there's something further than that. There's the Lord as the Redeemer of his people from the kingdom of darkness, and he is strong. Oh, however you might feel that you're still held in chains in the kingdom of darkness, remember this, that the Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts, the Lord who is over the hosts of angels, the Lord who has his armies, he is able to deliver his people, to bring them out of the land of Babylon, to bring them out of the far country, yes, and to bring them to Zion, to bring them into his own church, to make them his own spiritually, to make them his adopted children, and to watch over them and to provide for them. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. It's still true. Not in a particular context. But we can apply that to a spiritual context. Yes. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. That's it. The Redeemer is strong. You might be conscious of your weakness, and the weakness of your circumstances, the weakness of your situation. Well, look away from all that. Look to Christ, the King on the throne of glory. He is strong, and he will bring you hope. Yes. Well, let us think then in the third place of this. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Perhaps we have, in following out some lines of thought, we have gone over some of the ideas that might be more strictly belong to this, under this third head. But, you see, when they are on their journey, and the people of God are on a journey to another world. How will they get there? On the narrow way. And if they are the people of God now, they have been brought into the narrow way. They've been brought through the straight gate or the narrow gate onto the way that leads to everlasting life. They have been brought. The Lord has done it. And there is, and that way leads on to everlasting life. Leads on to heaven. There will be no falling out of that way. They may fall, yes, but they will not fall out of the way. The Lord will keep them. The Lord who has become their Father in his mercy, he will bring them home. Yes. You think of a little child going out for a walk. Perhaps the way is a bit dangerous. But especially if we are thinking of the Father as strong, he will bring them home safely. That's the illustration. But you see, if we go back to this, the Redeemer is strong. He's taking them by the hand. He's leading them on. Left to themselves, they will blunder. Left to themselves, they will make many a mistake. But he will lead them on. He will lead them on safely. That's it. He will bring them home. None of them will be lost. None of them will fall away. They are in his family. And if we think back to the prodigal son and think of him leaving home, think of him forsaking the family and the blessings of the family, as well as the responsibilities of the family, yet he was brought home. How effectively he was brought to the Father's house. It seemed, he seems to be in the Father's house in a moment, and that's how it is spiritually. But you see, in going along the way, the people of God are to think of Jerusalem. Though they are afar off just now, and that's what they may feel, and in many ways that is absolutely true, that they are far away from perfection, far away from the customs and the attitudes of the New Jerusalem. They've got the beginning of these, certainly. But, you see, they're on their way. But they're to think of Jerusalem. They're to think of heaven. They're to think of the blessings that will be theirs in heaven. And as they think of their own weakness along the way, they may say, hold thou me up, so shall I be in peace and safety still. Hold thou me up, keep me from falling. How can we get saved? How can a sinner get saved from here, wherever it is? Whatever state, however in particular you would describe their spiritual state, however you would describe the progress that they have made in the way of desire, it may be limited. It may be very limited. But, you see, here is where they are to go. Hold thou me up. So shall I be saved. That's the only safety. Not in their own carefulness, though they are to seek to be careful. But you see, the carefulness comes from the watchfulness of the Good Shepherd, of the Father. The Father, or the Good Shepherd, you can take the two ideas, going out to seek the lost sheep and bringing it home even on his shoulder, because the sheep is weak, because the one who is now a child of God is so weak, so ignorant, needs so much strength. Yes, you see, it's all provided. Remember Jerusalem. Remember the Lord from afar off, and the Jerusalem where he is, the new Jerusalem. Remember. Remember him there. Remember Christ on the throne, taking care of his sheep, holding them in so that they will not wander off, keeping them back, keeping them looking to himself. You see, that's a great part of it on the way. As Paul says to the Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now, there's a great deal in that verse, but there's this, looking unto Jesus, being altogether dependent on him. That's the thing. Being in dependence upon the Lord himself, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's no one in this wide world now or at any time in the past or will be in the future who can think of the Lord, who has a right to think of the Lord as the author of their faith, but will have a right to think of the Lord as the finisher of their faith. Yes. The two things go together, and it's to him that the people of God are to look. It's to him that a sinner is to look, as the one who came into this world to save sinners, who died and who rose again. That's how a sinner is to be saved, but it's how a sinner is to go on the way towards the eternal Jerusalem, the city that is far off, and yet, by the Lord's grace, there may be great strides made, and wherever, in a sense, if I can follow through that picture I was drawing, trying to do it in the light of Scripture. But you see, whatever place, in a sense, the children of God are at, when they are to be brought home to everlasting glory, and yes, in view of death, the one who knows all things may be preparing them for passing into the eternal world, bringing them, as it were, in long strides, further on, much nearer, to the New Jerusalem. Yes, he brings them on, sometimes much more closely, much more quickly. Is it this, that the child of God, at a particular stage, might seem not to have been made, not to have made much progress, but the Lord works in their souls, and he gives them grace to make great strides. Yes, he might notice. The one who is the subject of that work may not notice, but the Lord is bringing them on. Others may notice. There's a godliness about that man or that woman now, which we didn't use to see. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in the soul, making that sinner to think of the Lord afar off, and who lets Jerusalem come into his mind. Or we might turn it round and think of it as a divine work. Yes. And that's the emphasis. And yet there's this, a looking unto Jesus, a trusting in him, as the author and finisher of the faith of a sinner. Yes. Oh, may we be seeking that. And may we, by God's grace, be brought to look to Christ. And you see what there is there. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset, whatever particular sins there may be. But you see, temptation, the work of the evil. But what is he? What is he in comparison with Christ himself? What is he in comparison with the Holy Spirit who works in the soul? But let us be looking unto Jesus. Let us be looking to God. Let us remember the one who is the Father, who has adopted his children. And what a family. What a vast family have been adopted already. Many of them, of course, are in glory already. But this is being addressed to those in the family. And they may feel still to be afar off, but let Jerusalem come into your mind. Remember the Lord afar off, who is able to finish the work of salvation, who is able to bring you home, and who will bring you home. But you must be looking unto Jesus. Yes. And let us remember these words in Psalm 1. In his law doth he meditate day and night. The saved sinner, thinking of the Lord even afar off, and Jerusalem coming into his mind, and he is meditating in the law of God, in the word of God. Yes, that's probably what is particularly meant there by law. You see, the word of God is what gives us instruction as to what we should do and should not do. Yes, remember Jerusalem afar off. You see, Abram, he looked for a city that had foundations. He never found one in this world. And that was illustrated by his dwelling in tents. Portable homes, we might say, that could be carried from one pasture to another pasture for the sake of the sheep. But, you see, there's this. Abram had no permanent home in this world. And he wasn't looking for one. He was looking for one in the kingdom of God above. A city which had foundations. A city that was permanent. A city that couldn't be knocked down. A city that you couldn't put a bomb under and explode. No, it's a permanent place for the people of God. What's our great aim in life? As we're in this ungodly world, what do we want to get out of? Well, people might say, I want a living, I want companionship, and so on. What did Abram want? Might have needed, he did need these things that he'd. In God's kindness, he had much more than he needed. But you see, the great thing for him was to obey the great God of eternity, even when it was difficult, even when he must sacrifice Isaac, and he did. Well, he went as far as he needed, but the obedience was there, and he had his eye on the Jerusalem that is above. He had his eye on the city that has foundations. But what of us? Are we following in Abram's steps? Well, we should be seeking that in a great measure. What's before us tomorrow? Who knows? You might have your plans, but you see, are we thinking of the uncertainty of time? The uncertainty of time that we must all pass from this world. Are we on the way to the New Jerusalem? That's the great matter. Where are our desires? That may help us to recognize what we are. What are our desires? Are we desiring to be united to God through Christ? Are we desiring the work of the Holy Spirit in our souls? Are we desiring a new heart and a right spirit? Yes. Are we desiring to look to Christ? Are we desiring to let Jerusalem come into our minds? Are we desiring to remember the Lord even from afar off? Yes. Are we desiring a city that has foundations? When this world lacks foundations, and the things of the world lack solid foundations, and our lives here are so uncertain, are we seeking to have Christ? Are we seeking to remember the Lord even from afar off, and to let Jerusalem come into our minds? Are we praying? Are we praying that the Lord would draw us to himself? Are we praying that the Lord would make the means of grace a blessing to us? Are we praying that the Lord would make the communion season a blessing to us? And the preaching of the word, the whole of public worship from Sabbath to Sabbath and on weekdays also. Are we seeking these things? Are we seeking a blessing from the administration of the Lord's Supper, a blessing for ourselves? Are we seeking grace? If we have that blessing of looking unto Jesus, are we seeking grace that we would get good from the Lord's Supper? Well, may the Lord give it to us. May the Lord enable us to go on looking unto Jesus, trusting in him. And how earnest we should be when this life is so uncertain, when we do not know what a day or an hour may bring forth. Oh, let us now seek Christ. Let us hear his voice saying to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He bless his word to us. Lord, have mercy. Bless what we have been considered. May we be thankful to thee that thou dost not leave us altogether. May we have thy blessing. Oh, have mercy for time and for eternity. Bless thy word. Bless us as a congregation. Bless all the congregations connected with us, here and in other countries, in Zimbabwe in particular. Grant to bring peace in this troubled world. Oh, grant that sinners would hear the voice of Christ, and that hearing they might live. Bless us, Lord, in all our spiritual poverty. May we be receiving and willing to receive out of the great treasures that there are for sinners to receive. Oh, that we would be seeking a portion, that we would go to the Joseph of the New Testament to receive out of his storehouses. Bless us, keep us, do us good. Wash away our sin, be with us at a communion season. Bless the word and the sacrament. Grant to do wonderful things. Oh, give the spirit of prayer to each of us and to all who will gather. Pardon us, keep us, make us thankful. May we commit ourselves to thee altogether. Take us home safely. Watch over us now and always. And remember those who are in trouble. Pardon us and bless us. For Jesus' sake, amen.